deliverance from sin, needing to lay aside weights that does so easily beset us. Hey, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna hush, but when do you think it's gonna get easier? I'm being honest. When you're right now, you are in the very room with the Holy God of heaven. He's this close to you. When do you ever think it's going to get easier? The truth is, it never will. Every time you say no, or later, or I'll do it next time, that next time never comes, because your heart gets harder. Every time you say no and reject God, it gets harder and calloused. So while he's passing by, why wouldn't you reach? If I had time, I could take and show you in the Bible. People in the Bible who really wanted to get things right, they would climb trees just to see him. And they had high clout. I mean, they had big positions in the town, and you would thought pride would have got the best of them. But no, they needed, and they knew Jesus may never pass by this way again. And he run ahead and climbed the tree, and listen, and Jesus saw that and told him, Zacchaeus, come down. And then others, what about that woman? What is it, Mark 5? She got down on her hands and knees. She'd done tried everything. She'd tried it all. Doctors, she tried it all. And she got down on her knees and pressed through the crowd. And said, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. And when she did, he said, who touched me? He said, Lord, there's people everywhere. What do you mean, who touched me? He said, I perceive virtue as when it. Do you realize tonight, if you would come to him, crawl to him, walk to him, move toward him? He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. If you would take a step toward him, do you realize what you have that you can't stand, that you are sick and tired of living with? And you've done made up your mind, you're just going to have to live with it and put up with it forever. Do you realize tonight you can come and touch him, and what you thought you was going to have to live with forever, he will take it, and his virtue will go into you, which will give you power and victory over that thing that's haunting you. It'll never get easier. Just remember, every time you put it off, it gets harder and harder and harder. Every time you say no, when it comes to salvation, you've heard it said many times, the road to hell is paved with procrastination. People who said, I will. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have Brother Rackley come and just, preacher, you come share whatever. You can preach, sing, testify, whatever the Lord's put on your heart, as long as you want. Take as much time as you need and mind the Lord, and we'll hear you gladly. Amen.
Well, I believe if we was as scared and afraid that we were going to miss God tonight as many of you are that I'm going to preach. I believe we'd probably have a move of the Holy Spirit. Some of you is about to break out in a sweat thinking, oh, Lord God, it's time to go home, and he's just now getting in the pulpit. Lord spoke to me right there about coming up. Said, tell them. If you was as concerned about missing God in this service, letting God just walk right by you, not get help, leave this service the same as you came or worse, as you are wondering if Preacher Rackley is going to preach at this late hour, we'd probably have revival. God's moving. God's moving here. God's moving in other places. God's moving in our church. God's moving in other churches. And the common denominator that I'm seeing in every one of those churches that God is moving in, holiness is a big deal. People are moving away from sin. They're repenting of sin. They're making wrongs right. They're getting rid of revenge and resentment and bitterness and hatefulness and backbiting and tale-bearing and gossiping and all of that. And they're realizing that the devil's behind all of those. That list I just gave, none of those are the fruit of the Spirit. None of them. And if God's not using you, the devil is. Both will not use you. One is and one is not. And you pick. You're picking. Amen. That's exactly right. And so everybody that everywhere I know that God is moving, and I'm telling you, God has done amazing things here this week. It hadn't broke out, but God has took this church and give you a great opportunity to go to another level spiritually. And listen, I'm not talking about going to another level and visit. I'm not talking about going to another level and saying, okay, this is great, and then tomorrow or 3 days or by next Sunday, you're right back where you was at. God never moves for the moment. God never moves with the temporary in mind. He wants to change your life. And when God, that little breeze of heaven come through here a while ago and God was moving there a while ago, I don't know who was in the altar and who wasn't, but every father in this service should have had your family in the altar praying over them. In case you don't know it, Dad, or in case you maybe have gotten so carnal that you've lost your spiritual perception, let me help you with something. The devil is after your children. And if you had a spiritual discernment about you, you could see it. But when you are caught up in your little world, the devil can slip right under your nose and do great damage to your children. Every time the devil moves, he's always targeting the young people. Some of the biggest events in the Bible, you find children dying. The enemy wanting to kill them. That's right. When God was going to raise up a deliverer for to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was a lot of baby killing going on. When Jesus came into this world, Herod was killing babies. And I'm going to tell you, friend, the devil is after the children. And here's the sad part, another sad part. Not only is the parents playing along with it, they're playing along with it because they think my son and daughter needs me to be a pal instead of a parent. My son and daughter needs me to encourage them to hit the ball further and run faster and make more points and score more points and all of that. And you're helping them, and you're helping them to climb that ladder. And once they ever get a taste of whatever world you're pushing them out in, if they ever get a taste of the fame and the success of that world, it'd be hard pressed to ever get them where they can come, where they'll come back to church and have a heart for God. I was sharing with the preacher today, and I'm seeing it, and most of, and some of you, some of the preachers here, Brother Womper, no doubt, has seen this. I'm watching parents live out their youth through their children. What they did in their youth, they're trying to push their children to live the same life. And in every case that I know personally that fits the description I just gave, none of those children have a heart for God. None of them. One in my mind used to come to our church. His oldest boy surrendered to preach under me. Got saved and surrendered to preach under me. Youngest boy got saved. Pushing them out into the sports world. And they have no heart for God. Parents, I hope you look and evaluate your home. Because we'll never have revival in the church and we'll never have revival in the nation until there's a revival in the home. And revival in the home is not going to push your family toward the world. It's going to pull your family away from the world. And in every church I know that God is moving in, they're dealing with sin in their life and they're making a move toward God. They're trying their best to make things right with each other. Listen to this. I know some of you still afraid I'm going to preach. R.A. Torrey, very qualified man of the yesteryears, great man of God, great Christian, he wrote a prescription for revival. And you would think that it would be a book. You would think it would be something that would require 300 or 400 pages to talk about. Three prescriptions for revival, and I'm going to give it to you. And R.A. Torrey said this. He said, I can give a prescription that will bring revival to any church or community or city. That's a mouthful. Okay, you're fixing to tell me what would bring revival to any person, any church, any community, any city. Tell me. I want to know what that is, all right? Number one, you ready? Let a few Christians, they need not to be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. This is the prime essential. If this is not done, the rest that I'm going to say will come to nothing. Let a few Christians, they need not be many, but let them thoroughly get right with God. Or as the dear lady testified wherever she's at earlier, oh, I see you now, that unconditional surrender. That unconditional surrender. Paul defined that unconditional surrender as the life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. That's what she was saying. That's what R.A. Torrey is saying. Let everybody thoroughly get right with God. And if you're wrong with God, you don't need nobody to tell you. You know it. You know it. When you're sick physically, you don't have to ask somebody, am I sick? Would somebody please tell me if I'm sick? No, you're the one that's sick, and you can tell everybody, I'm sick. When something's wrong with you, you know it. Spiritually, if you're sick, you know it. All right, that was the first one. Let a few Christians, need not be many, get thoroughly right with God. Not partially, not mostly, but thoroughly right with God. Number two, let them that just got thoroughly right with God, let them bind themselves together in prayer groups and pray for revival until God opens the windows of heaven. I've never read of any Christian, any preacher, anybody, I've never read about them give a statement or even talk about revival, but what somewhere in their discourse they lift up what is paramount, and that is prayer. This church will never go beyond its praying. You as a person, I as a person, will never go beyond your praying. And if we'd all be honest tonight, even in this congregation, probably people's prayer life, for the most part, almost stinks. Almost is non-existent. It's just a little maybe over, little prayer over a breakfast or something. But I mean, pray over your children and pray over your generation and pray over your church. Let them bind themselves together in prayer groups to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and come down. Thirdly and last, let them, still referring to that first one of those that got thoroughly right with God, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Christ. A threefold prescription of revival. And here's what Tory said. He said, this is sure to bring revival to any church, community, and city. I have given this prescription around the world. It has been taken by many churches and many communities. Listen to this last statement. And in no instance has it ever failed. It cannot fail. Here's a man that took that prescription I just read to you and gave you, took it around the world, and he said it had been taken by many churches and communities and so forth. And he said in no instance, not 99%, no instance did it ever fail. So what does that tell us? Before we leave tonight, what does that tell us? That tells us that if we'll do that here, God is no respecter of person. If I'll do that, you'll do that, God will move. And basically that summary there is all in the Scripture. Those are not verses of Scripture, but they are principles that are revealed throughout the Scripture. Preacher, the reason a lot of times we don't have revivals, we just plain and simple don't want it. We don't want the changed life that's going to come with it. We like that unconditional that she talked about. We like the conditions. Lord, I'll give you this, but I want to keep that. I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. I'll go so far, but no further. And if you're saved, I want to remind you tonight of something very important. If you're saved, you do not belong to yourself. Therefore, you're not your own master. You have no authority over yourself to direct your own path. You belong to God. And to want to be saved and not let God have you, that's not even scriptural. Well, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to let God save me, but He's not going to have me. I'm not going to serve Him. That attitude right there did not come from a person that got saved. We need a good old-fashioned revival of honesty. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. No, listen, I've been saved 41 years. No one else has ever taken my joy. I didn't say now that for 41 years I've had joy consistently. I said nobody else has ever taken it. Those times I lost my joy, the fault 100% was on me. So you can't blame others. I don't care what they say about you or what they do to you or what they've done to you. It don't make a bit of difference. No other person can take your joy. No other person. Jesus had joy enduring the cross. And what I forgot now, what was it you said took your joy? Somebody didn't shake your hand. Somebody said something negative about you. Jesus had joy enduring the cross. I guarantee you and I can have joy. Because his joy is our joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That's exactly right. Nobody's ever taken my joy. If I've ever been defeated, and I have many times, it's always, listen, I'm not stuttering, it's always been my fault. Always. I may not have always chose the circumstance, but I do always choose my response to it. I have allowed the wrongs of others get me wrong. Are you listening? You may not have been the one that did the deal. You may not have been the one that was wrong in whatever the wrong was. You might have been the recipient of that. It was done to me. It don't matter. Did you let it get you wrong? Did you let it get you bitter? Did you let it get you critical? Did you let it take your joy? Did you let it take your song? Did you let it get your faithfulness? Did you let it get your forgiveness? You have to watch the wrongs of others not getting you wrong. Amen. Because if you get wrong, you're just as wrong. Wrong is wrong. That's deep. That's worth coming to church for right there. Wrong is wrong. It don't matter if you were the instigator or if you was the receiver. It don't make no difference. If you let it get you wrong, you're still wrong with God. You're crossed up with God, and you need to get right with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord. And there's not a person in here tonight that cannot get right with the Lord. There's not a person in here. If you want to. And I know there's people that don't want to, because they know to do so, they're going to have to forgive somebody. They know to get right, they're going to have to let some things go. And some refuse to do that. And here's why. I've had them to tell me. Brother Wampler, they say, I'm not forgiving them. I'm not going to forgive them because they're getting off the hook. I had a boy recently tell me that. I said, you know why? What's right now, you're miserable as you can be. You've lost ground. It's very evident. You're miserable. And you know what? Those people that you're mad at, those people that hurt you, they're probably going on with their life. They don't even know that you can't sleep at night and don't care. Forgiveness is not about them. Forgiveness is about you. You receiving a release yourself. Amen. They're not getting away with nothing. There's a just God that's got the record book. And if they need dealing with, let him deal with it. I met a young man not long ago, and he told me about his daddy. He told me about his daddy that his daddy had talked about how that God, well, actually it was on his daddy's deathbed. And his son was standing there as a Christian and a young preacher, and his son was talking to his daddy, and his daddy was saying his last words. And he told his son, he said, years ago, it was like 30 years ago, he said, God called me to preach, but I never would do it. And the son said, Dad, why would you not say yes to the call of God to preach and his purpose for your life? He said, because I would have to forgive so-and-so and called his name. There was a man that said no to God's will for his life and allowed 30 years to go by wasted, now on his deathbed, too late to say yes to the purpose of God, all because I refuse to forgive so-and-so. That ain't worth it, friend. I've had people to rip my heart out. I mean, and stomp on it in every direction. But I'm telling you, I refuse by the grace of God to let bitterness and ill will and unforgiveness and resentment and revenge get me Amen, that's right. And some of you, listen, some of you need to, I had to do it. I'm not telling you to do things that I've not had to do. I've had to get right with God because I didn't understand what God did and why God did it. I feel impressed to say this. I'm not preaching, but I'm giving you something. My mama died in my hero. She was responsible for me getting saved. My mama died suddenly with a brain aneurysm in 06. The very next year, my daddy died. Back-to-back years, my mom died and then my daddy died. My two heroes, great Christians, godly people, great workers in the church, great servants in the church and the work of God. And the further I went thereafter, I preached both of their funerals. Tried to. I mean, that was difficult, but Lord help me. But the further I went thereafter, even though I was still preaching revivals and I was still preaching in our church, and I noticed that I was losing my joy. I noticed that I was losing my song. I was losing. It was leaving. And I went over to the church one day, just where I pastored. And I went over there, it was just me, nobody there. Listen, I'm telling this for some reason. I went over there and I prayed, I walked the aisles, I prayed, I got in the altar, I tried everything. Nothing. It was just like beating my head against the wall. And finally I come to the place to where I got honest and I said, Lord, I really don't know why you took mama and daddy out of my life. Because really, if you proceed far enough and long enough, you're going to end up blaming God. I never come out and said that, but that was in my heart. Lord, I don't know why you did this. I was wanting God to give me an explanation. I was wanting God to say, okay, well, now here's what I did and why I did it. Here's my purpose. But God's not going to do that because God never says in His Word, the just shall live by explanations. No, the Bible said the just, four times, the just shall live by faith. And by faith simply just says, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you did what you did or allowed what you allowed. I don't know, but I trust you. And Brother Wampler, there in the sanctuary where I have preached for almost 30 years, I was pacing the floor and I tried every way, but nothing would help me. But when I got honest and I got humble before the Lord and broken before the Lord, and I said it with all of my heart and meant it, I said, Lord, I don't know why you took mom and daddy, and you don't owe me an explanation. You don't owe me an explanation now, and you don't owe me an explanation ever. Not in this life, nor in eternity, do you owe me an explanation. I choose today to trust you. I choose today to believe what the Bible says. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And if he done right, then it was right. No matter what I think about it, no matter how bad it hurt, if he done it, it had to be right. He either does right or he does right and wrong. Amen. But he don't do wrong. He never makes a mistake. He never shows up late. Amen. He knows what he's doing. I'm telling you, when I said, Lord, I trust you. Amen. You know what happened? The joy bells started ringing in my soul. Thank God the birds began to sing in my soul again. The anointing of God came back on my life again. And I could preach with power once again. And it all happened. It all happened simply when I come to the place where I said, Lord, I trust you. I said, Lord, I trust you and I still love you and I want to serve you to the day I die. And help came to my soul when I got to that place. You might be here tonight. You may have not needed 4 points and 5 poems. You may not have needed that, but you might have needed just what I said. He asked me, he said, you got something on you? I said, I might say a word. I felt like I didn't know what, but I felt like the Lord might want me to say a word. I just said a word. And I had to walk through that myself to learn it. It's hard for you to, I mean, you can draw strength from other people's valleys, but not like those that you walk through yourself. When it's your heart that's bleeding, when you're the one that's bruised and battered, when you're the one that's absolutely the devil's wearing you out. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to quit. He wants you to get so overwhelmed. He wants you to get so overwhelmed to the point that you're overcome. And when you're overwhelmed and overcome, you're no good for nothing except for the devil to use your life. I was preaching over there in Psalms when David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I've read that verse I don't know how many times. Quoted that verse, referenced that verse, so I don't know how many times. And boy, it was just, God just let me get it. Even though he just got through saying, when my heart is overwhelmed, not was overwhelmed, but is. He was, even in that shape, he had spiritual mind inside of him. There was a reference, went to the rock. I need to get to the rock. If I can get, I'm overwhelmed. My heart's overwhelmed, but if I can get to the rock. And he even admitted, I can't even get to the rock. I need to be led. Lead me to the rock. Are you, amen. You won't get to the rock and get the help you need if you're not one that God can lead. Can you say honestly, lead me, Lord. Lead me on what you want me to do. Lead me on getting right. Lead me on whatever I need to do. Lead me to the rock that is high. Higher than I. When you're at your lowest point, listen to those thoughts that direct your attention to Jesus. There's help for you to be had. Pouting has never helped me. Pouting, come on now. I can tell by looking at y'all, y'all don't do that. Y'all have never done that. No, we'll let your children testify. We'll find out. I'm telling you, pouting has never helped me. Blaming others has never helped me. Walking after the flesh most certainly will not help you. Giving in to the impulses of the moment to cater to the flesh will not help you. I'll tell you what help you can have tonight. And some of you have. And some of you know you need to. It's when I made my way to God. Brought my baggage to God. Brought my brokenness to God. Amen. Brought my uncertainty and my questions and I don't have answers. I got questions but don't answer. No answers. I brought all of that to the Lord and just dump it out. And you know what I found? The Lord took it. Yeah, I can take that. God will take what he can't even use. I've never said that. He can't use your baggage, but he'll take it. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Listen, he don't need your cares. Well, why does he want me to cast all my cares on him? It's because you won't no longer have them on you. They're on him, and he can handle it. On his shoulders, he's already bore your cross. If he's bore your cross and your sin, I promise you he can handle your cares. I'm telling you, there's great victory to be had in the service tonight. If you'll just come and say, Lord, I don't have all the answers. I don't even know the questions. But here I am. I'm giving you my brokenness, my burdens, my misery, my loneliness. I'm giving it all to you. And I want you to have it. Amen. Because it's killing me. You'll never convince me tonight that God puts on you what is killing you. I'm talking about killing you spiritually. He wants to kill your flesh. He wants to kill your flesh, but he don't want to kill your spirits. If you're losing your joy and serving God is something that you having to make yourself do. Listen, coming to church, you having to make yourself do it. I hope you don't treat that lightly, because that's footprints and fingerprints of the enemy that's already mightily at work in your life. If he can get you down, he can get you out. You've heard that little cliche, down and out. If he can get you down, his goal is not just to get you down. His success, he won't go away saying, yeah, I did it, just over the fact that you're down. That's not his goal. That's his plan, that's his purpose, but that's not his goal. He wants you out. O-U-T, out. Some of you can't even remember how long it's been you've had joy in the Lord. It's been so long since you've lost your joy, you can't even remember that far back. And you know what's sad? You're accepting it. Well, that's just the way it is, and I'm just going to have to learn to live with it or learn to die with it or whatever. No, there's help for you. The same one that saved you, the same one that saved you is the same one that promises, I'll go with you. Go with you? If he's with you, is that a path of defeat? Is that a partner of defeat? No. There's help for you tonight. You don't have to leave the way you came. I've been to a lot of services that I left worse than I came because God wasn't there. But you can leave tonight with victory in your soul. And whatever you have to do, whoever you have to apologize to, don't matter if you have to stay up half the night calling people, so listen, I'm sorry. I know I said some stuff to you. I know I've run people down. I've this and that and whatever else you want to add to it. And your flesh is going to hate every minute of it. I promise you, it's going to crawl up on your shoulder and say, boy, you're making an absolute fool out of yourself. He said, no, devil, I ain't making a fool out of myself. I've been doing that listening to your trap. You're the one that's been putting all them hard feelings in my heart anyway, and I'm not listening to you no more. What did we learn the other night from the Aramaic and the Hebrew and the Greek? That's got to be in there somewhere. Might even find it in the maps. James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist. Talk to the hand. Resist the devil and he'll what? When he gets that. Here's what the devil has to do. He has to tuck his tail. Because God said to. You said, you mean me just rejected it? I feel it every time I do that. It comes from my feet plumb all the way up. And I've told people to do that, Brother Wampler. I said, don't do it around everybody. I said, people be calling the men in white coats. And they'll be coming and putting you in a straitjacket. I said, get in your bedroom somewhere. Get in your house. Get where there ain't nobody else around. And just have you a good old-fashioned conversation with the devil. You can't see him. He's the prince and power of the air. But just address him. I've done it many times. Hey, devil, I just want to let you know I'm no longer yours. I used to be. I used to be on your team. I used to be a faithful servant of yours. But January the 20th, 1981. Son, I feel something on that right now. I mean, just get in a room, get over, where were you? By yourself, and just say, listen, devil, you're not getting me. I belong to Jesus. My ears belong to Jesus. I don't care what you say, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. My ears belong to Jesus. My mind belongs to Jesus. I'm not thinking your thoughts. I'm not thinking your thoughts no more. No. My heart belongs to Jesus. I'm not listening to you. Your attitudes is not going to get in my life no more. I'm done. I'm talking here. That's right. Brother, I'm telling you, it works. And everybody I've told that to, they've done it. They come back and say, "Preacher, I can't believe that." And the first time that ever happened, I don't know why I'm telling this, and I'm not rambling. Somebody can get some help off what I'm saying because it helped me. Amen. Years ago, Brother Jonathan, I was preaching, me and another preacher, Brother Jack Patterson, was preaching a tent meeting over toward Walhalla, South Carolina. And Brother Jack is already married. I wasn't married. And we had a little small, I'm talking about small camper. You had to sleep standing up. We had a little camper there at the tent. And one night after the service, me and Brother Jack was sitting in the camper at that little table. He was on that one side with his Bible on the table. I was on this side with my Bible on the table and was reading. We wasn't talking, we was just reading. And we both, Brother Whomper, lifted our heads at the same time and looked at each other. I'm telling you, it was as evident as it could be that the presence of the enemy had come in that camper. I'm talking about, couldn't see nothing. I'm not talking about something stupid. I'm talking about just an awareness of an evil spirit that was in that camper. And I didn't know what to do with it. I hadn't been saved too long. Brother Jack, listen to this. Brother, what I just was doing, that's where I learned it from. Brother Jack got up out. He slid. He didn't have to slide far. That table ain't that big. He slid out and he stood up in that middle of that camper. He walked over about two steps to get to the door. He opened that door and flung that door open and said, "Get out of here, devil. You're not allowed here. You're not loved here. You're not liked here. Get!" And I'm telling you, he left. Why? Because the Bible says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you," and it happened. I said, I got educated right there. Oh, the devil come in there to try to do damage, but he come in there for my development. I know now. I learn now. The only reason he can camp out on your porch or on your bedpost or pillow, you know the only reason he can do that is you're allowing him to stay. You're allowing him to just stay there. He only thing he can't handle now is what? Resistance. Here's your good word that you probably get victory. No. What does the devil have to do when you tell him no? Okay. Now he may come back the next day. He may go out through there and come in another angle. He may try to use another person, but the same, it'll work. Ain't nothing charismatic about that. Ain't nothing about, "Oh, preacher, I can't believe you. You act, man, you just telling the devil to get and all that." No, the Bible said, "Submit yourself therefore to God." You got to do that. You better make sure you do that first. You better make sure you submit yourself, the dear lady back here, unconditionally. You better make sure you've submitted yourself unconditionally, which is a military term, bringing yourself under the rank and the authority of the of God before you start that resisting the devil part, because you do that little, and you're worldly and carnal and you ain't been to church and Lord knows when, and you're going, "Oh, well, Preacher Rackley said, yeah, he's liable to grab that little hand you got stuck out, talk to the hand. He's liable to grab that hand and slang you through the house." You better make sure you submit yourself therefore to God first Then it said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. I believe there's help to be had in that. I know there is. God has helped me many times with that. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow for a word of prayer. If you need to come, I know it's late. But I believe God has said some things here in just the last few minutes that I believe God wants to help you with. Why don't you just bring your hurts, your questions, your uncertainties? Maybe you've gotten away from God. Your heart is no longer for the Lord. Your heart is no longer for the Lord. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? I know you're thinking that quitting's an option. I know how the devil suggests that. Why don't you just quit? Look at all that's happened to you. Look at all that's going on in your life. Why don't you quit? Who is that that's talking to? Who would tell you to quit? Not my Father. My Father wouldn't tell me that. Why don't you come tonight? Sir, why don't you come? Maybe you have made some mistakes. Maybe you have made some wrong choices. But why don't you carrying it is not going to get the slate clean. Why don't you bring your mistakes, bring all of that, and get in an altar? So Lord, I'm not coming down here to offer you my perfection. I'm coming down here because I've got flaws and mistakes in my life, and it's killing me spiritually. I need to get right with God. I need the peace and joy back in my life. I want the purpose of God to be big to me again and to be big through me. Young lady, why don't you do that? Got your focus on everything. Got your focus on the world, and you very seldom ever think about the Lord. Why don't you come and get right with the Lord tonight? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Young man, why don't you come? Why don't you bring your baggage to the Lord? The only reason you wouldn't is because you like your baggage. You like it. And I promise you that if it remains in your hands, it'll never get in His hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray right there, sis. Amen. Someone else. When you do business with God, it don't take long. Just getting an altar. So, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that you don't have much to work with. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've not really given you much to work with. I've been such a sorry Christian. A sorry Christian. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Daddies, you're the high priest in your home. You're to lead the way. Your children, your family are to see you in the altar. Better yet, it'd be good for you to just look at them and say, hey, let's as a family, let's go pray. Let's get our heart right. Let's get our family right. Let's get back. Even if we have to, whatever we have to quit, whatever we have to resign from, whatever we have to do, we're going to go with God because this thing's winding down and Jesus is coming. Would you come? How about it, young man? Would you come? What about the grandparents? What about the grandparents tonight? Can your grandchildren look up to you and say, my, what a Christian. What a godly, godly Christian. Would you come tonight? This service is about over. Don't let it close on you. One big part of getting where God can send revival is just get clean. Just come clean with the Lord. Amen. You may be guilty of something and nobody knows about it but you. Your mom and daddy don't know. Your wife or husband don't know. Your children don't know. Your best friend don't know. But God knows. Why don't you come tonight and get right with the Lord about that thing? You may need to get saved. You may just need to get born again. Would you come? Young man, you know what you've been doing. God knows it. Why don't you come? Why don't you come tonight? Somebody will be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray with you myself. There's folk doing some business with the Lord in this altar tonight. Hey, I promise you there's some hurts inside this building tonight. God wouldn't have led me to say what I've said if it wasn't for people hurting. I guarantee you, you've been hurt. You've lost your confidence in church. You've lost your confidence in people. You've been hurt. Listen, don't stay like that. You can't help nobody like that. Give it to God. If there's something needs settling, let Him settle it. If somebody needs dealing with, let Him do it. And you go on and serve God with joy in your soul. There ain't nothing like a mama praying with her child, praying over their child. Greatest memory that a child could ever have is to hear mamas praying. Mamas, have your children ever caught you praying? You didn't even know they was around, didn't know they was listening, but they just happened to walk up the hallway or they walked in the kitchen and they caught you with your head bowed and you was praying. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Young people, I'll tell you what, if you'll get more interested in praying than you do be popular, you'll be way ahead of the game. I promise you, there's some people in here, and I addressed it last night. If you continue on the present course, you're headed to prison, as sure as your name's what it is. You've got all of what it takes. You've got all the traits. You've got all of the likes and dislikes. You've got all the ways. You're going to end up doing something big time stupid one day. Best thing to do before that ever happens, get right with God. Give Him all of you. Give Him all of you. Everything about you, give it to Him. Amen, Lord. Folks are doing business with the Lord in this altar. You say, preacher, we've already been to the altar. Every time I've seen God move mightily, there'd be like waves. There'd be a wave of people go to the altar. A few minutes later, it'd be another wave. God help us. Almost guarantee it, there's some in this building tonight in your heart. I ain't getting right with God. I don't care what they say. That's a fool. I'm not getting right with God. I don't care what the atmosphere is. I don't care what God's doing. I'm not getting right with God. Number one, that's no doubt the voice and the attitude of a lost person. Because a saved person wouldn't have that rebellious attitude toward God. Amen. Hey, there's some ladies praying with each other down here. There's some men praying with each other down here. Don't leave the way you come tonight. Get you some help. There's folk here tonight that they'd be glad to pray with you. If you got somebody in here that you got confidence in, you ought to go to them and say, let's go pray. I need you to help me pray. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. Morning Star, I beg you in Jesus' name, please don't let this opportunity pass you by. God is trying, working, leading to take you to another level for His glory. And you'll never go to another level for Him until you go to another level with Him. And to go to another level with Him means you have to lose levels with this world. You have to step away from some levels that you had in this world and give that attention, give that affection to the Lord that you was given to the world. And a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people will never do that. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Amen. 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 I want to mention this while they're doing business down here. Do we see the need for God to be working? Do we see the need for God to work? How could we not see that? Do we really want Him to work? You say, preach, that's an elementary statement, a question. Do we really want Him to work? For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There's a lot said about the working of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do we really want God to work? If we really want God to work, here's the first thing we should do. Get everything out of our life that God cannot use. Get rid of the things in your life that God cannot use. Because if you're wanting Him to work, give Him something to work with. Give Him some obedience to work with. Give Him some devotion to work with. He can create worlds out of nothing. But He won't create a Christian with nothing. He's got to have your obedience. He's got to have your submission. He's got to have you saying, "Yes, Lord." Amen. Amen, Lord. Praise the Lord. Such a blessing. Amen. Amen, preacher, you come.
Preachers, we're up here confessing and asking forgiveness and telling the church all about how they come in here and they feel like they failed the church, feel like they failed the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me, and He told me to come forward and say a little something. And I said, "No, Lord, now's not the time." I just got up in the service last night and I shared something. And I argued with the Lord and I said, "No, it's not the time." And I put Him off. And Preacher Rackley got up here. Actually, Preacher Rochester got up here and said a few things. And then Preacher Rackley brought us what God had for us tonight. And the Lord, during all that time, He brought what He told me to say. He brought it to fruition in my heart and mind. I said, "All right, Lord, I will submit, and I will absolutely get up here and buffet my flesh, even though I don't want to do it. And I'll just do what you said to do. So first thing, you young fellas, y'all grew 10 feet in my sight tonight by getting up here and saying that, because you had to do exactly what I had to do. I had to submit myself and buffet my flesh in order to get up here and do what it is that you fellas did a little while ago. I know you don't require any kind of recognition for it, but I want to share a couple verses with you right quick. Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 27. It is good for a young man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. And here's the verse that the Lord spoke to me from. It said, he putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. Jeremiah said right here, if there could be hope for revival, if there could be hope for people getting saved, if there could be hope for us moving closer to God, he said, I will humble my flesh to the point of putting my face down in the dirt. That's what I'll do. I'll humble myself to the point where I'll eat dirt. If somebody else, including myself and my family, can draw close to God. That's what these men got up here and did. They said, Lord, even if it's not my fault, I will take the blame and eat the dirt. And I thought to myself, Lord God, if I have to take the blame even for something that I have not caused, just like Preacher Rochester said, and I have to apologize to 10,000 people, if there may be hope for this church and hope for my family, I'll take the blame. And the Lord said, yeah. I know what you mean, man, because